happens recently. It's too bad we can't be face-to-face in the studio, but maybe sometime soon. And he joins us now, the good doctor from Think One. And it strikes me today, the reason we wanted to have you on today, because it's the first day of official National Football League business, starting at 2 o'clock today for 2021, and yet we all know that the real action started on Monday, and probably some talks took place even before Monday when the legal tampering period officially began. If there is a better oxymoron in our society, I don't know what it would be beyond legal tampering. But you're dealing still with individual players. Is this a time, generally speaking, of great player anxiety, or is it a time of great player hopefulness, especially for the unrestricted free agents, obviously?
Yeah, well, good morning, Sandy. Great to be with you again. You know, it depends on the individual. You know, I got a couple guys actually here in Denver doing our program here at Think One, and one of them really was pretty anxious on Saturday leading into Sunday, and you're right. There's a lot of communication on Sunday night and getting that all done for Monday morning. But, you know, one of them was very anxious. He was anticipating, you know, he's a former first rounder. So he had always projected himself to make a lot of money in this league. And then after his, the team opted not to pick up his fifth year, he was pretty anxious about what was going to happen next. It all turned out for him. It worked out really well. And then I had another guy who was like, hey, you know what? Anything that happens is just icing on the cake. So it depends on the individual, Sandy, and how they frame it. Well, that's pretty much how it works in the NFL with athletes is some people can frame it in a real positive way. We call that asset thinking.
Yeah.
And some people frame it in a negative way. We call that deficit thinking. So it just depends on the individual.
It is a funny time this year because the cap is down, and that's unusual. And here in Denver, I know that not a whole lot of people correctly anticipated what the general manager, George Payton, might do. I know you're still close. You worked for the Broncos back in their Super Bowl year 2015, and you still work with some of their players. Do you get any sense from the players beyond what he's done so far in free agency, how much of a change there's going to be out of Dove Valley as the George Payton era begins?
So I'll answer that two ways, Sandy. So there's two types of analysis and research we do in any kind of performance arena, and that is quantitative and qualitative. The quantitative is really statistical analysis. It's data analysis. Analytics is what the name has taken on in the recent years. But then there's qualitative, and that means it's kind of the human experience, the mood. And I can tell you from a qualitative standpoint in talking to the players, they were a little disappointed because there was a few players out there that were, for lack of a better term, dangling in the wind.
Yeah.
That, you know, they could have had and went after, and other teams went and got them. And I know a couple of these players, and I'll tell you what, Sandy, I'm not necessarily the football guru, but I do know football. I played it at the highest levels. And I can tell you this, there was two players that really could have helped Denver, especially on defense. And so I think from a qualitative standpoint, you know, some of those players really feel like Denver wasn't aggressive enough in going after these two difference makers on the defensive side of the ball. You know, the thing about the NFL, Sandy, and you know this, is that general managers, executive vice presidents, they really got to cover their butt, you know, in the decision making. And some of them really go out aggressively and go after people and willing to spend the dollars and quote unquote take the risk. And then there's other people that just play it close to the vest. And I think, you know, having Denver a new GM this year, the sentiment, at least, that I'm getting, the qualitative analysis from these players is they're playing it a little bit close, and maybe that's the way he wants to come in his first year. I'm not sure, but that's the way I would answer that question.
Interesting,
Danny.
Interesting that he wasn't aggressive enough in the minds of certain players. I want to ask you about one team I know you study, and one team you know very well because you've done some work with them. The one team you've worked with closely is San Francisco 49ers. Certainly cannot be said about John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan and the folks out in the Bay Area that they have not been aggressive. They've actually gone a little bit crazy, especially this morning with, I think the guy a lot of people thought was the number one free agent out there, Trent Williams, but he is a player in his 30s, signing a six-year deal for $138 million and getting a guarantee of $55 million. You know that organization pretty well. Are you surprised, or did you anticipate that they would be perhaps next to New England the most aggressive team in free agency so far?
I'm not surprised, Andy, but it's for a different reason than what the listeners may anticipate.
Okay.
Yeah, I definitely do have some insight to that organization, and as you know, I work with some of the people in that organization. But I would say this. You know, San Francisco had a disappointing season last year.
Yes.
Albeit a COVID season. You know, a lot of people will say, well, that's an asterisk season. It really doesn't count. Well, it counts to Tampa Bay, I can tell you that. But I'll tell you what, the psychological rebound, if you will, is when a team has high expectations and doesn't perform to those expectations, you know, the simplistic model is to go out and be aggressive, and that's really what they've done. But I do know in their scouting department, they're very sophisticated, they're very professional in what they do, and they do a lot of analysis. They do it on the psychological level, the quantitative, the qualitative aspects. So they did their homework, but I do think they were aggressive because it was kind of a rebound type of psychological reaction to them not performing as well in the COVID season.
Yeah.
I do anticipate San Francisco playing much better this season and being really in the mix for a world championship. So, but I'll tell you what, San Francisco, their methodologies from top to bottom are one of the best I've ever seen in the NFL.
Why is that? Talk about that a little bit. Why is their methodology distinct?
Well, I think it starts in the scouting department. There's two levels of scouting. There's college and pro. And I think they got some really top talent in the front office there. You know, Adam Peters is a guy that is real, you know, he made it to a finalist for a GM job this past offseason.
Yes.
Out of 15 candidates. And really, a lot of people are saying behind the scenes that he probably should have got the job, but that's neither here nor there. He'll be a GM in the league. There's no doubt about it. That's coming for him.
Well,
in the future.
He worked here, of course. We all know that.
Right.
And then you were with him and got pretty close to him back in 2015. So you know he's very good.
Right. And so it starts with the scouting, Sandy. You know, I've been privy to being part of several teams in the league. And I'll tell you that everyone talks about talent on the field, and I get it. You do have to have players. That's how this game is played. But the game is really the foundation of the game is really in the scouting department. And when you have, you know, front office personnel in player personnel on the college and on the pro side that really do a nice job, both quantitative and qualitatively, then you can't mistake that. You see it at the combine. You see how these people really interpret the performance there. In the interviews, they're really good. But then also, Sandy, it's got to go into the GM and the EVP. The leadership right there has to be selfless. It has to be a leadership that's transformational. When I look at John Lynch, I think of a guy that really brings people together. You know, I just know a lot about when he's in a meeting, he's asking other people's opinion. He's not a dictator. He's not a tyrant. He doesn't tell people what to do. He gets people's opinion in different departments. He takes that into consideration. He's not just doing that to look good. He really does value other people's opinions. He gets that information. He puts that into the equation. And then he deploys that and tells his head coach, here's what we're going to do for you. Here's what we can provide for you. There's a really open communication line. This is the last link of it that I'll say. The communication line between the GM or the executive vice president and the head coach needs to be a two-way street, a two-way highway.
Yeah.
And I've seen it, Sandy, on teams where it's a one-way street. The GM is basically dictating to the coach. The coach is kind of pissed off about it, doesn't voice his opinion. There's not a real open dialogue between those two people. But I think in San Francisco, that's what you see is a really openness to their leadership, a real qualitative, transformational type of leadership, which is really successful in any kind of organizations, whether it's sports or corporate.
We'll talk a little bit about the draft. Of course, that's still a few weeks away, but it is very much upper among thoughts in fans' minds these days as they look ahead and imagine what the Broncos might or might not do with their number 9 pick. And we'll talk also, coming back, about the New England Patriots and their spending spree, very uncharacteristic of Bill Belichick based on past patterns. That's next. Sandy Club, Orlando Franklin on Denver Sports Station. Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. O is off today. Hopefully we'll be rejoining us tomorrow for our final couple of shows of the week. We are pleased to have with us right now Dr. Rick Perea from Think One. And in our final minutes, Rick, tell us what's going on at Think One beyond the work you mentioned earlier you're doing with several individual NFL players.
Yeah, you know, Sandy, as you know, we work in the NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, but we also work with everyday people, trials and tribulations, getting the, we call it the checkup from the neck up, you know, the mental side of the game. Really, if you don't have the neck up in line, you'll never be your true potential, the neck down. But helping everybody shape their thoughts so their thoughts don't shape them. But one thing that's exciting, Sandy, we just acquired a multi-wave laser, a locked laser that really deals with people's pain.
Right.
If you think about it, people have physiological pain that leads to psychological misery.
Yes.
When people are in pain, it influences their psychology. So because Think One really influences and says we're mind and body, we've really taken a step forward in helping people's pain with their body. And I actually have several NFL players in here this week treating some of their previous injuries, chronic injuries and acute. So it helps them be in a better mood, helps their mindset, and then they can be their true potential. So I would encourage people, look us up. We're off I-25 in Arapahoe Road, and we have a new multi-wave laser we'd love to treat you with.
Yeah, you were talking to me about this last week, and it's really a big deal for you.
No, it is, because, again, there, you know, you think about even people who are not athletes usually have some kind of injury or pain. And it's really interesting because instead of thinking about psychology only being treated from the neck up, in other words, talk therapy, coaching, things like that, it is that. But it's also taking care of your body so your body's in good shape. Then you feel better about yourself. When you feel better about yourself, it elevates your mood. And I can tell you this, having a couple Broncos that used to play in the 80s here in our office actually today, who are we're treating for back pain. And they've really never gotten released from chiropractors and even some of them surgery. But this multi-wave laser is really doing an amazing job. And we have one of our athletes, Rick Perils, who used to be a running back for the Denver Broncos, he would be a testament to how much we've helped him with his sciatica nerve issues. And it's been amazing, Sandy.
I want to ask you about Bill Belichick. You've worked with Nick Saban in the past. The two are friends. Belichick had some money to spend, and uncharacteristically, he's spent a good portion of that money that he had to spend underneath the salary cap. This is both, I guess, somewhat expected with all the money they have, but it's not usually the Belichick way. Is there anything to the theory that Belichick is looking to strike back and wasting no time after watching Tom Brady go to the Super Bowl and win it with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? And he's not engaged in any 2 or 3 year rebuilding plan. He's looking to get right back to the top again.
Yeah. Well, you know, Belichick is a guy that really may go down in history as the GOAT, the greatest of all time in terms of wins and Super Bowl wins, but he is human. And that human element of him wants to compete.
Right.
And so he's going to bounce back. He is really taking an opportunity here to bounce back. You know, he hears the whispers throughout the league that, you know, Tom Brady may have been that factor in helping them win all those Super Bowls. And, you know, that gets under his skin a little bit. He's a human being. He has a whole psychology to the way he processes information, too. So I think that's been a real kind of rebound, too, for him, a psychological rebound in that he wants to get back in the mix. He doesn't like being in the middle of the pack. He likes to be at the top of the food chain. So I think that's an effort in him to really bounce back, get his personnel to a level that he thinks he can really compete with. And I think they've taken a major step towards doing that.
Dr. Perea, it's always a pleasure. We appreciate your time today.
Always love being on, Sandy. Love you. Appreciate you. And keep doing your great work.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Love you, too. There he goes, Dr. Rick Perea. He's the man. We've had a relationship for about 8 years now. Going on 8 years, and Rick's come on with us.